One size fits all seems like a good idea for clothes until you try them on. Same goes for healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. Learn more at uh1.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello everyone, it is the build-up show. Liverpool, Leeds United, the finally rescheduled Boxing Day fixture, conveniently placed just 4 days before the League Cup final. Good on you. Good on your football. Good on your coronavirus. I am very fortunate enough to be joined by Andy Bell and Dan Club for this one, to dive into all things Liverpool, all things Leeds, and then have a good old chat in the middle, actually, about a thing that's coming up from this week's sponsor, circling around John Motson, picking his 50 greatest commentary moments, and some really interesting Liverpool picks in there, which we'll come to a little bit later on. But yeah, Andy has mentioned, yeah, wonderful. If we looked at this, it was like, oh, we've got a clean run up to this final. Great, Chelsea are going to have their Champions League game. We're going to have a full week to prepare. No, it's Leeds. I suppose in the grand scheme of things, it could be, the fact that it's Leeds, is it could be worse, is what I'm kind of driving at. But yeah, not, it's slightly unideal. If only because, if from a fan perspective, it's just a bit of a distraction. I kind of just want to be able to think about the final.
Mm-hmm. And at the time when the game was postponed on Boxing Day, from a sports science point of view, we were probably actually quite happy about it, because we had Leicester 2 days later. Obviously, it turned out that made no impact on the Leicester game, because we lost the Leicester game anyway. But yeah, I mean, they've certainly had a few players come back from injury. I think Dallas is back now. Rafinha got a little bit of a rest and then has to come on, but he only got 45 minutes in his legs. But yeah, it's not like they were at Christmas, where they were playing like 16-year-olds at centre half and young lads up front who had never, you know, kicked a ball in senior football before. They are stronger now, and it's one of these strange games where, you know, we're at home, it's a team down at the bottom, we should win. But it's not like Brentford, where they were out of form and you sort of just rocked up to Anfield thinking it was a formality. They're a very unpredictable team. You know, Klopp and Bielsa undoubtedly have a lot of respect for each other, and you know, it could become a little bit bitty and tricky. But you know, it's forced us to rotate on Saturday as well, which is another thing. You probably wouldn't have seen the rotation on Saturday if we had a full week to the League Cup final. So yeah, it's thrown things up in the air, but so far we're dealing with it.
Yeah, and that's kind of the point hit on by Andy there, Dan, is they are a bit unpredictable. Mm-hmm. It's not like, oh, it's Leeds, they're going to turn up, we're going to batter them. So this is the weekend with Leeds and United. Look, United, the scoreline probably ultimately reflects the balance of play in that one. But Leeds having that 24-second barrage where they go back to 2-2, they give it everything, you know, horrendous weather conditions, the fans are on top, but they're that kind of team. And we saw this last season as well, didn't they? They come to Anfield and give us a real bloody nose before we end up putting them to bed. So yeah, in some regards, we can look at it and go, oh, it's a team down the bottom, but I'm not sure. I think they're probably better than the league position.
Massively, yeah, and they have been impacted by injuries, there's no doubt about that. Obviously, Andy sort of references their Christmas period there, which is about the time City went to them and put 7 past them, which was nice as well for us to see, wasn't it? Just as we weren't allowed to play them.
Yeah.
That was perfect. but yeah, Leeds are better than their Delhi. And it's an easy thing to say, and obviously everyone will come back and say, oh, well, you are where you are for a reason, which is often right. But I think injuries have had a big impact on Leeds this season. And they do have that small squad, because that's what Bielsa likes to work with. He gets the players running into the ground. He has them fit as a fiddle. And that's why they often do give bigger sides and run for their money, and they certainly did it to us twice last year, because that second game was after the whole Super League debacle as well, wasn't it? And that wasn't a great game. It was a bit of a bitty game as well, wasn't it? You know what I mean? And they put up a good fight. They were fighting for the whole of the world apparently on that day against Liverpool, weren't they?
So
that was another factor. But at the end of the day, this is Liverpool at home. We are where we are in the league. This is huge. We've got to go and get the business done.
Yeah, and just to have a look at their injuries and what have you, at the moment, it has definitely eased a little for them, but still missing, by the looks of it, missing Liam Cooper, Calvin Phillips, probably be out on March at the moment. Patrick Bamford, there's no return date on him at the moment. He's obviously been a big miss. I just looked at, I think they've, again, looking at United,
having Rafinha in reserve was definitely a thing. You can't see well when he doesn't start in this game. Yeah. They've got pace. They're a team that'll get in your face. They'll run you down. They'll hunt you down. And they are the teams, actually, that have caused us more bother this season than traditionally it's the ones who sit in, park the bus and defend for their lives.
Exactly, yeah. This season, actually, the more progressive teams, like even Norwich, from the start on Saturday, within 10 seconds, they have a corner and a couple of decent chances. And I think teams have realised now that we've got so good at the breaking down of oppositions and having so much control over games. And, you know, Thiago coming in was a massive part of that as well, just the control he has over any midfield, really. If you want to get the best out of yourselves against Liverpool, you should engage, you should press, you should put pressure on us. And okay, that can go drastically wrong, but it's better than we're definitely just going to lose this 2 or 3 nil. So yeah, that worries me slightly about this game. I mean, I do still think we're going to have enough. And it's interesting just looking at the way Leeds are talked about in general, and because Bielsa, rightly or wrongly, for some people seem to be weirdly have a massive agenda against him, but you know, because he's not really won that much in his career but still seen as a revolutionary, some managers and pundits have a bit of a chip on their shoulder around Bielsa. But the thing we have to remember is, you know, they only came up 2 seasons ago. The expectation for any team, no matter how much they've spent, and they actually spent quite a bit less than some of their rivals that finished below them last season, but the expectation is you just stay up, and Leeds did that and some last year. They were nearly pushing the top 10 at some point. And now that they're in a bit of a relegation scrap, I feel like it's a little bit disrespectful the way people are talking about them, the way people are talking about Bielsa and Leeds in general. And, you know, let's not forget, if they, you know, they're expected to be still down here until they can get a bit of money from the Premier League.
There's a couple of factors in this, though, Andy, is that everyone hates Leeds.
Yeah.
So that is a big thing. We experience this as Liverpool fans. You know, when Liverpool come on top, there's a lot of other fans who just don't want Liverpool to succeed. And Leeds have got a generation beneath who are desperate for Leeds to fail at all times. But I think the Bielsa point's interesting, because I think when you have foreign managers come in to this, to good old England and English football, and they're touted as these revolutionaries. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But this with Guardiola, think about Guardiola's first season, it was all Fraudiola and all this kind of stuff. Like, you're in the Manx, desperate, to the United fans desperate to bury Guardiola, because no one likes to think that, like, oh, Johnny Foreigner's going to come in and show us how to do our football in a better way. Yeah. So there is a little bit of, like, I don't know, I guess, like,
snobbery, isn't it?
Yeah, it's the snobbery. And schadenfreude to seeing someone like that, even though he's not coming and gone. It's like fucking Mourinho when he's coming and gone, I am the special one. He's come in, like, and hasn't even learned the language. Maybe that's part of the problem as well, is that no one knows what he's saying. That's why loads of people have loads of issues in small towns when they can't understand what people are saying in the supermarket behind them, and they think they must be whispering about them. Maybe that's what it is. The JNOs think that, like, else is secretly calling their mum slags and they just don't know because they can't understand. It's a weird situation, isn't it, Dan? Because Bielsa is clearly a good manager. He's clearly got a good ethos there. Mm-hmm. But we've seen this in a number of clubs, especially like Liverpool last season. You take a lot of key players away from, particularly when they've not got 24 men of equal quality in there. But on any given day, they can certainly give any team a run for the money.
Yeah, massively so. And like the injuries have been key to them. And it pretty much, if you'd have said to Bielsa at the start of the season, who can't you afford to lose? You'd have probably named the people that have been out for prolonged periods, which is huge for them, obviously. Because they have been bringing in relative kids, really, which isn't great, is it? And I think they gave United a little bit of a scare yesterday. Obviously, I guess you touched upon the 2 goals in the space of seconds. But I just feel like, obviously, moving forward to this game, that the conditions they played in yesterday, the style that Leeds want to implement, that sort of all action, high intensity, putting pressure on, running like crazy, they did that yesterday in essentially a swimming pool. So what that will have took out of them for Wednesday. And they are a really fit side. That's been one of the keys to their success, actually, or relative success over the last couple of years. But, you know, we talk about sort of the fitness side of things and the science side of things. That yesterday might have a huge impact on what happens this week.
Not only, you know, were they in such a mad game yesterday and the conditions were terrible, but also the fact that it was Leeds versus United. Scott McTominay was hammering into people. You know, that was a real old school game, was what everyone was saying about it. And it's kind of a moot point I'm about to make, because I think, you know, they'd have looked at that United fixture and thought, we'll go for that. And, you know, Liverpool's a bit of a free hit. We don't expect to get the points there. But they do make all three of their subs, either before or at half-time, as a player comes off injured first half.
Robin Koch, lost early on, yeah.
And then they made 2 changes at half-time, obviously brought Rafinha on. And that was influenced by the game state, really, and how the game was going. So if there was anything in Bielsa's mind of tackling these two fixtures as a block, it sort of went out the window the way the game went and with the injury. So which plays into our hands as well.
The good thing about this game as well, because there's been a lot of talk about Liverpool and Anfield atmosphere of late, and you know, I've heard far too many renditions of is this a liability, etc., etc. And the point I often find about this is that it's not, like, it's just not. You know, it's a bit like the, you know, like poking fun at Bielsa and all that kind of stuff, is that when people, fans are told that this is the best atmosphere and then they rock up, they expect it to be something special, unless, unfortunately, you know, there are just certain games that Liverpool don't. And maybe this is a bit of like entitlement, or I tend to think it's a bit more, we just feel a bit weird. We're not bellends. I don't seem to take as much joy out of beating Norwich as I do about beating teams that I genuinely hate or I really feel like they're really standing in Liverpool's way. It's going to be interesting to see how this Leeds game goes, because there is a rivalry, an historic rivalry there. It's not Leeds versus Man United. You know, it's not, because it's not quite the Lancs-Yorks divide, because let's be honest, you know, we don't, you know, maybe in cricketing terms, but like certainly not in a, you know, Merseyside only gets counted as part of sort of Lancashire whenever we're looking for a decent cricket team to follow. But the, I say that, but yeah, relatively speaking, of course. But there's a historic thing. I remember being a kid going to Liverpool Leeds games and having so much venom in the stand, night game under the lights. I'm not saying this is going to be a Champions League style game, Dan, but it should provide a little bit more, particularly if they're going to be that. If they're going to be high energy, high tempo, make it a physical game, that's exactly what you want, to sort of feed the fire in those kind of games.
Yeah, massively. And the backstory's all there. It's almost like on Saturday we needed them to take the lead to kick us into life.
Yeah.
We probably don't need that this time because of the historic rivalry, like you touched upon. Leeds, you know, in terms of nostalgia, are a big football club. They've got that history behind them. Norwich, all due respect, don't. So it's different going into the game anyway. Add into the fact that we obviously get the 3 points Saturday and then City go and lose. It's all there. It's all there for a serious atmosphere. I agree with you. I don't think it will be Champions League. And in terms of away fans coming and singing about it and what have you, I don't know what they expect.
Yeah.
Like, I honestly, that's what I always think. Because I sometimes sit in the main lower near the away fans. I look at them and I'm not going to name clubs. I just think, what did you expect? Because you're not Inter Milan, Napoli, Barcelona, who we faced in sort of the past 18 months. We're not going to be that rampant an atmosphere. It's not going to be that. So I do wonder.
It's just like anything. Everyone's got the buttons they try to push. So I get it. You know, if you're going to try and wind Liverpool fans up, we're being, you know, it's something we're quite proud of. So to try and mock things that you're proud of, I mean, there's well worse things that we're glad. I'd rather that be sung than a bunch of other things, to be perfectly honest. But I do find it funny. You know, like, yeah, great. I'm sorry that this isn't as important a game of football to us as it is to you.
Yeah, that's it.
But it would be nice. And my point in general, I think the atmosphere at Anfield as actually, it's the best, even at its worst, it's better than it was 5, 6, 7 years ago. I think we nostalgize the past a lot, and people do this about the 80s, like, oh, the 80s was great. 3/4 full at best, you know what I mean? A lot of those, and they weren't amazing atmospheres. Since Klopp's come in, our base level's gone up. The point is, you stood up on the cop for every game now.
Yeah.
And that actually wasn't the case in the first couple of years under him.
I was literally saying that to Chris before, like, because I've only come over to Liverpool the last couple of years, and I didn't remember the cop was always standing. I think maybe in this season we won the league, it was standing. But yeah, it's every game now. Shrewsbury at home, whole cop was standing. Yeah. Cardiff home, whole cop was standing.
You used to get, like, the first 5 minutes, and if you stop singing, the stewards would go, sit down, and then you'd be like, oh, no, come on, now, please, don't let me be the front row of the people stood up, because that's when you're going to get chucked out.
Yeah. And I think that still does happen in other parts of the ground. A couple of times I've sat in the Anfield Road this season, the stewards will try and get as many blocks sitting down as possible. Obviously, if a whole block's standing up, they've no chance. But I think on the atmosphere side of things, I think I've maybe mentioned this before, but in terms of, you look at different atmospheres to Liverpool, like maybe Celtic or Rangers or Dortmund, or like the German atmosphere, where it's like kind of a constant backdrop of noise for 90 minutes. It's not reactive to how the game's going. It's not like, you know, you get a corner and there's a big lift. It's just kind of the same level right the way through. It's kind of like a drone, and obviously that makes for watching the game great, but how much does that really help the players? You know, the fact that, for example, take Saturday, when we go 1-0 down, there's a big lift for 5 minutes. Mm-hmm. The atmosphere between Mane's goal and Salah's goal is a big lift. And, you know, if you're going to have a reactive, feral crowd like Anfield is, then you have to, you've got that side of it, but you have to cop for the fact that for 20 minutes when nothing's happened in the first half, you're not, it's going to be a bit quiet.
It's the Vuvuzela effect, is what you're describing. Yeah, like, listen, that World Cup 2010, and eventually, after a while, you tune it out because it's the same frequency. It's like ever being in, like, if you're ever in a classroom and then, you know, you walk out, or you're with your kids in an enclosed area, and then you walk out, or they go away, and you don't really, it's when the noise leaves you, that's when you notice it. And you're right, having, you know, crests rise and fall and all that, definitely a big part of it. But I think it goes both ways. I think it's harder to generate that against teams that don't have the ball, because what we're very good at in those big European ties is you face teams who want the football, and when they've got it, you boo, you hiss and you jeer, and then when your throat starts to hurt, you sing a song, and then when that song dies down, you replace it with boo, just a hiss and a jeer. And you can't do that when you're going to have 75% percent of the ball. Just quickly, so we know where Leeds are at, 15th in the Premier League at the moment, 5 points ahead of Watford, who are the top of the relegation zone at the moment, same games played as them. They've got played one game more than Everton, who are a point below. And I've seen a bit of this on social media, and I think a lot of it's play for laughs, but the Ever talking about, like, not wanting to beat Man City in case it gives us the title and all this kind of stuff. What I would say is, Everton, I tell you what, we beat Leeds for you and you beat City for us. Deal? Probably not. Right, we are going to be discussing Liverpool, how they're going to line up and all that kind of good stuff in a moment. I've got a trivia question before we head into our sponsored segment. There are four players in the Premier League era who have left Liverpool to join Leeds United. Who are they? I'm going to let that sort of percolate away in the back of your mind.
Hey guys, it's Steve here. Hopefully you are enjoying this podcast. Just want to let you guys know, if you want even more Red Men TV goodness in your ears, every single show that we produce over on our subscription service, Red Men Plus, also comes in podcast format. So you can get all of our amazing content on the go. Hopefully you enjoyed that one, and hopefully you enjoyed the rest of the show.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Life is full of what ifs. Some awesome, like what if AI could fold your laundry? And some, well, less awesome, like what if you have unexpected medical costs? United Healthcare can help get you covered with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. They supplement your primary plan to help you manage out-of-pocket costs. No deductibles, no enrollment periods, and especially no more what-ifs. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Seamless. Trivia question was, four players in the Premier League era have left Liverpool to join Leeds United. Who are they?
Fowler, I'm not sure if that was direct, but that's genuinely the only one I can think of. I don't know if I'm...
Absolute Matteo. Heartbreak. Dominic Matteo, good shot.
No.
Outside of that, I'm struggling. Because obviously, Javi Kuhl the other way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't even remember them being in the Premier League.
Do you know, there's one other who went the other way, actually, while we're on that subject. Any idea who that is? Goalkeeper.
James?
No. Played for us during 2004, 2005.
Kirkland?
No. The other one.
The other one?
Currently making up Man City squad numbers.
Scott Carson.
There we go. The other one who went from...
So you got Matteo Fowler,
and there's two more. One of them left on a free transfer in 1996. Oh, no. And the other one joined them on the 8th of August 2002. I think he spent maybe two seasons with us prior to that.
Did Gary Mack play for Leeds at one point?
He did, but he won the league with Leeds actually just the year before it was the Premier League. I will give you one. The first of which, but good shout by the way. The Southern Scouts are there, and National Treasure all getting Carson. Well done, to you guys. One of the answers is Ian Rush.
Oh wow!
Left Liverpool on a free transfer to join Leeds United. 98. And Nick Barmby was the other answer.
I feel like with Rush, you just always associate him with the Juventus move, don't you?
Yeah.
Not necessarily the one he came after.
I weirdly think of him as Newcastle because he obviously went to Newcastle after Leeds and he scores the goal that knocks Everton out of the FA Cup third round in that year. And I know because I was there because I went with my Everton mates and I had to borrow my dad's coat and all that because I only had a Liverpool coat at the time. And we just got knocked out by Coventry the day before. So I was devastated. And then I got my first footballing hero, turned up to Goodison and knocked them out. It was amazing. I always forget that he played for Leeds, but there you go. There was another guy called Ken Demang, who I've never heard of. He moved in on the 24th of September 1987, if you want the full completeness on all that good stuff. Right, let's chat the Reds. We are the informed team in the Premier League. We are second in the table. We are 6 points behind Manchester City with a game in hand. Andy, we could really do with just winning this football match, really, couldn't we?
Massively. This is the game in hand that we've been talking about for so long, and that we can actually close the gap. Well, initially it was to 8 points, then it's to 6 points, now it's to 3 points. It's getting shorter and shorter, and it's so exciting because you look at that in, you know, say end of December, start of January, and you're looking, you're 8 points behind Man City, and we're watching genuine greatness with this Liverpool team, but it just seemed like they were winning every single week. And I had no doubt in my mind that Man City would drop enough points to let us get back in the title race, but I wasn't sure we could be perfect. And I thought, for us to be 8 points better than them over this next 4 or 5 months is going to take something really special. It's going to take some real tangible momentum and some catalysts to come in. And you look at Saturday, Saturday's a catalyst in the way we win, in the way they lose. You've got the signing of Luis Diaz, always going to be a catalyst for crowds and the team themselves, and the returns of the likes of Elliot and Thiago and the African lads coming back in as well. And for what Mane's got, for what Salah's trying to prove, I mean, everything's sort of coming together in this kind of perfect storm, and it has to if we're to supersede this amazing Man City team.
Yeah, no, it is. And it's nice to have that, to claw that back for now. Now, of course, our Arsenal game, which would have been played this weekend, is postponed because of the League Cup final. So we're going to end up with a game in hand again. Mm-hmm. But just the psychological thing, it was interesting. I thought last week Guardiola was referring to the gap being 6 points when it wasn't. You know, it was not long off 12 points still at that point. Yeah. And someone said, well, that's a good mentality to keeping them grounded. But it also says that he is scared. And I think he's trying to manage the narrative around things. Because Liverpool had this in 1819, where it was like, this is the gap that Liverpool have over City and they're going to bottle it. Whereas it was never quite the gap that it was, because City had games in hand themselves. They still had us to play.
Yeah.
It feels there's very similar vibes here. And I think Guardiola is a little worried about Liverpool coming up on the rails behind them.
Oh, not half, yeah. He can see that everything's just flying at Liverpool at the moment. I mean, Andy touched on it there in terms of players coming back to fitness, new signings, people coming back from AFCON, either on cloud nine or with a point to prove. Everything's just pointing in the direction of us doing what we need to do. And obviously the catalysts are all there now, and we've got this game. Not only have we cut the gap on the weekend, City and Guardiola, who mentioned Liverpool being a pain in the arse last week, because that's how he genuinely views us. And we've been that his whole time in this country now, and he must be fed up because he's used to having the monopoly in leagues, certainly in Germany.
And he's expected to as well.
Of course he is, because he spends more money than everyone else, and he thinks, oh God, I've just spent 100 million in the summer, and still this Liverpool side won't go away. It must be really quite frustrating for somebody of his ilk. But yeah, we should hopefully cut the gap again, and they'd be thinking, God, these just won't go away. And also, that psychological boost over Saturday wasn't just in terms of results, but obviously we played before them, which was nice in itself. Mm-hmm. And City, I don't care who they are, they're humans. They'd have been looking at us at 1-0 down thinking, okay, happy days. And then that another blow to them, see, oh, actually 1-3-1. Yeah. They'd have been buzzing, wouldn't they? We all do it as fans. Oh, yeah, City are 1-0 down, happy days. And all of a sudden, the whole thing flips on its head.
Yeah, no, it is, it is true. And Liverpool just need to get back to being ruthless. And the biggest problem we've got with this league game though, Andy, is this the cup final thing,
yeah.
And we're going to get a real sense of, I think, the strength in depth, but also the strength of mentality, because Liverpool teams in the past have these games have been the be all and end all, and you have a bit too much gearing up, I think, from some players. You might think, oh, I don't want to get hurt, I want to make sure I'm playing in this game. You need to put a side out there, because again, it's Leeds, you can't afford to blink in this one, because we could end up undoing two of the four that we're driving for, yeah, on almost on one night. So maybe someone misses a tackle and puts themselves in a little bit of trouble or whatever. All the focus has just got to be on this, because right now the league has taken on loads more importance than maybe it had a month ago.
Yeah, and we've talked about how unpredictable they are, and about how the atmosphere, probably with a range of different factors, one being the kind of half rivalry. I think it more comes from their side than it does our side. But being under the lights, and for what's happened just on the Saturday just past there, you know, it is one of these games where it's a potential banana skin, and even though they're kind of down there at the bottom of the table, we still will need to be very wary of them. And I think I said a couple of weeks ago that over the next 5 weeks we're playing every single midweek, and you know, we've all had the conversations before about how Liverpool actually sometimes look worse when they've had a break, mm-hmm, rather than when they're just boom, 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 because Klopp can sort of create that mentality about the squad, the idea that we just go again, we dig in.
Yeah.
And he can create a story around that may not necessarily exist in every single game. So I think he's had a look at, and obviously, I can't remember whether I said it this year or the last one, but this Leeds game being thrown in here has meant it's thrown up his plans in terms of how he rotated at the weekend. I expect full strength on Wednesday night, and I expect this pretty much the same team to go again for the cup final. I think that's due to the respect he has for Bielsa and their quality more than anything else, as much as they're not having the best time of it. So, I almost think he always complains about these big blocks of fixtures where there's so much football, but I think in a way he kind of likes it. And I think we thrive off it better than any team in the league.
I think there's that. I agree. There's something like that in life, isn't there, where you can stress about something to a point, but when you're in it, Dan, you've just got to roll with the punches. And I agree. I think Klopp and this squad actually quite like the rough and tumble, the hurly burly, just rolling into the next game. Who's here? Who's available? Who's ready to fight again? You are. Come on, look into the white of the eyes and determine who's got the most fire in the bellies. That's what this squad's kind of been forged in. But we've actually got a weird world where we've actually, you know, picked up a couple of injuries, which we'll discuss in a second. Mm-hmm. But there's so many lads who would all be banging on the door, ready to play in this game. And if not, they'll be looking, or they'll want to play in this game because they'll want another chance to prove themselves. Mm-hmm. And everyone from the weekend through to this one is all desperate to make sure they do get picked in that team for the final.
Massively so, yeah. But I completely agree. This Liverpool side under Klopp has been so much better during these hectic periods. When we ever look at like a busy month coming up, and previously we've gone, oh, that looks tough. Like this October in like Champions League, it was gone by, good, oh, that looks hard. And all of a sudden we've won every game and we're away. And I think that's what this side's been built on. And when we do come back from a break, there's something not right with this side. They just don't click back into gear. Rhythm is so important. And we've got that right now. We've got it in abundance right now. So in terms of moving into this one, I think the football we played recently is so important. And not only that, on a basic human level, again, like players probably prefer playing matches than training. You know, that's like a fundamental, you know what I mean? Yeah. So they'd much rather see a really busy run of fixtures than like a pre-season schedule, you know what I mean? So it's only natural that they'd prefer this. But in terms of Wednesday, it is a real, because the options we've got available are all there to see, and there's going to be so many players who might feel aggrieved not to be involved in this one or the final. So like Andy touched on, it might be a case of going full strength for both.
Yeah, and the thing is, we're back to the question of what does full strength look like? I mean, at the moment, still no Jota, and I can't see a world where he's getting risked in any way, shape or form
not
for this game.
Swan,
no Bobby, definitely. Mm-hmm. You imagine, we don't quite know the full extent of his injury, but that's going to be a few weeks at least by the looks of it. But Divock and Tacky both getting minutes at the weekend. I think that kind of, we see a little bit of that, don't we, Andy, with Klopp's thinking. You start to get an inkling of what the next game's like, often based on who his substitutions are. Yeah. It wouldn't surprise me at all if Divock starts this game, just because he got so much time on the pitch to to Reading haven't been out for so long.
And I suppose, has Manny played every single game since he's been back? He hasn't been on the bench for any, has
he? Was on the bench for the first...
No, I think he ended up playing against Burnley. Yeah, didn't he? Because Jota was supposed to play, wasn't he? But he had a dead leg. So
I feel like for every single game, I've been thinking, well, if Manny wasn't supposed to play that first one, then he'll just swap Jota and him around for the next one, or Diaz and him around, or Salah and him around. So, you know, you're looking at that, and Manny, albeit he didn't play, you know, the same as Salah in the AFCON in terms of extra time, but he still played every single match in a hectic period. So, you know, throwing him that from one hectic period into another, and of course, you know, listen, Manny can go off adrenaline now for a couple of games, but his body's still the same. You don't want to overplay him in that sense, because, you know, we could have a real asset there after what he's done on international duty with Senegal. So maybe that's the only thing you could see, and maybe that's why he had Salah on the right, Diaz on the left, because he knows he's going to stick with that, and then maybe he's going to rotate Origi in for this one, and Manny back in for the final.
Yeah.
We don't really know where Jota is. Hopefully he's at least able to make the bench for Sunday. But yeah, we are going to see the squad. I think it wouldn't shock me if we see all three midfielders rotated, not least because of how well Fabinho, Thiago and Elliot did as a three at Ellen Road earlier on in the season.
It's interesting you mentioned that. I've actually got that team up there. So the last time we played them, it was Alisson in goal, Robertson, Van Dijk, Matip, Trent, Thiago, Fabinho, Elliot, Sadio Mane, Diogo Jota, Mohamed Salah. And obviously, as you're taking Jota out of that. One thing that was quite interesting, and I don't know whether this is just people reading between the lines or whatever, there was a pictures doing the rounds of Fabinho and Thiago post-match, and they had Leeds lanyards on, like hospitality lanyards, someone pointed out, and whether that's giving the game away that they're basically going to be sat in the stands. But they can't, because it's an Anfield. It was weird. Did they send them on a scouting trip? Or it was all a bit. It was a bit suspect, to say the very least. I have a sneaky feeling that we'll be two men off, maybe the team that starts, and it's a question then of whether you start Fabinho in this one, and if where are you playing Henderson? And it's also the Harvey Elliott thing. For me, Harvey Elliott has to start this football match, because much like Virgil van Dijk going back to Goodison Park, he's got to kind of come up against these lads again, I think, for the psychological rehabilitation. He's got to go back up. He's got to get through the full match, and then you get to have that choice of saying you don't necessarily start on the weekend or whatever. But I do think it's going to be very hard to unpick that he'll want... I think he'll want Fabinho, Thiago, Henderson for Sunday.
For the final, yeah.
I think he will as well.
So how does he best facilitate that? Because Chelsea play Tuesday night, so they'll have an extra day's recuperation, but they are playing a Champions League game where they're going to have to make sure they'll have their best team out on Tuesday night. And I wonder whether there's a bit of, like, can we shave the edges off our best team to give us that extra shavings back on top of whatever we're doing on Sunday?
Yeah, maybe. It's difficult. Yeah, I agree with you on Elliot, by the way. I think it's always a face of demons. Not that the kid has any, because we've seen that time and time again. He's extraordinary. But I think he starts.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think Elliot will definitely start this one. It would surprise me if he plays the final at the weekend. Just in the sense that I think Fabinho, Thiago, Henderson has been his dream midfield for big games right now, for quite a while. The only thing I would say, though, about Elliot when he has come in, and that link-up he's had with Salah and Trent this season, it looks really special at times when he has played. And the only question mark for what should be the first choice midfield for me is whether it's Henderson or Elliot in that right midfield role. So, but, you know, you can also say to Elliot, you know, if you go out and you smash it against Leeds, then there's a cup final place.
And the thing is, we mentioned before, there's five subs in the final. So, you know, have a good game and just put yourself into contention. You're probably going to get minutes in that game. There's nothing wrong with starting that midfield three that we discussed, and then Elliot's got half an hour to have a run at it and see what he can do. And we've also had this. And Klopp, I think, will be wary, because I don't think he's ever had a... In fact, he hasn't had a Wembley game for Liverpool that's not gone beyond 90 minutes. The two League Cup... The two Charity Shields both go to penalties. I think they go straight to penalties, don't they? And obviously the League Cup final against City back in the day goes extra time and pens. So I wonder whether he'll have something in mind to bring real fresh impetus on. Looking, to be fair, Naby Keita deserves to be in Liverpool's team. I think he's been great since coming back from AFCON. Yeah. Harvey Elliott's looking good. Curtis Jones can count himself disappointed. I don't think Ox was great at the weekend, but he's another one who's just finding his feet again. He's got a wealth
a ridiculous wealth of options. I've asked, actually, and I will ask you guys watching live right now, let me know who your midfield three is in the comments. I've got a few answers already from our Club Legend Discord chat. We will pick up that in a moment. But I just want to draw everyone's attention to the fact that we are now in Wembley Week across the Red Men Network, across our socials, across YouTube, and on Red Men Plus as well. For podcast and video listeners, we have got a five-part premium podcast series that is getting released Monday evening, looking at Liverpool, the League Cup story, how Liverpool constructed their 8 previous League Cup final wins with incredible insight from journalists who covered them at the time. Here's a little bit more on that. Liverpool Football Club, record 8 times holders of the League Cup, have a storied history in the competition. Back to the 80s, 81, 82, 83 and 84, 4 consecutive wins for the Mighty Reds, 1995, the McManamon Final, 2001, kicking off the famous treble campaign, 2003, the forgotten final, the win over the bitterest of enemies, Manchester United, and 2012, the trophy that sent feast to famine for Liverpool and kicked off 7 trophyless years, leading to Liverpool lifting the European Cup under Jurgen Klopp in 2019. Liverpool, the League Cup story, goes deeper behind the stories of each of those wins. A 5-part premium podcast series available exclusively on Red Men Plus in the build-up to Liverpool's attempt to win a 9th League Cup against Chelsea at Wembley. Head to Red Men Plus right now and get that entire series streaming right now into your native podcasting player and learn more about Liverpool and the League Cup. That was a senselessly long outro. Right, yeah, if you want to check that out, whether you like our content in video form or you really want to delve into more podcast form, if you join Red Men Plus, you can get our podcast content, which is a lot of studio-based stuff, but we've also got documentaries, features, interviews, and that 5-part premium series. You can get that in your native podcasting app. There is a guide as soon as you sign up and that'll tell you how to do that. But yeah, we've got you covered from all angles. There's also Silverware Stories, which is James Sutton, Hollyoaks' own James Sutton. If you can imagine this, CBeebies bedtime stories, but as read by James Sutton, but it's talking about Liverpool winning the Worthington Cup in 2001, and it's got interviews from Emil Heskey, Jamie Carragher, Marcus Babbel, Sander Westerveld, and the assistant manager on the day, Phil Thompson, and Darren Pearce, who scored the equaliser for Birmingham and in the shootout as well. Very, very highly recommend you get on that. And, of course, in conversation with Stuart Dan. And what I'm saying is, there's tons of stuff, and because we're building up, there's going to be an Oppo preview. The bait show on Wednesday is going to be themed around the League Cup. On match day itself, live and free on YouTube, we're going to have an extra special party show called Countdown to Kickoff during the daytime, and the watch along, and the post match stuff, and the instant match reaction on Red Men Plus, and the final word on the Monday. So, yes, Wembley Week and beyond on our Liverpool streaming platform, Red Men Plus. Right, I asked the question about midfield threes. What's your midfield three, Dan?
It's so difficult because I, like you, I want to see that best midfield in the final. So, we could throw everything out and really go sort of Milner, Elliot, Keita against Leeds.
Have you got the bottle to put that midfield?
That.
Yeah. And then that. Make substitutions when it doesn't go well. Yeah.
No, I go Fabinho, Thiago, Elliot for this one, with the view to putting Henderson back in. I think realistically, what benefit is given Fabinho and Thiago, what is essentially a week and a half off, mm-hmm. going to do? You know, that they'll want that that rhythm. And listen, if things go as they should go, the disparity in quality between the two sides, you could potentially then pre-plan substitutions. Doesn't always work out like that. But yeah, I think he's looked at Norwich and thought, I'll rotate there and then I'll have my big players for those two. And, you know, as much as you've said, Dan, you know, Dean Smith has improved Norwich quite a bit. Leeds are the better side. They pose more of a threat. Klopp has more respect for Bielsa than he does for Dean Smith.
Yeah. I think there's maybe something. I can see it both ways. I can see an advantage to playing the best midfield and just going, go on, have a game together before you play the final, so they're up to speed as much. But we might maybe see Henderson and Fabinho continue this 6 rotation thing. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And in that regard, I'd be doing Fabinho for 60, Henderson for 30. And then you've got them both primed and ready, however you want to use them. If you want to continue to 6 rotation at the weekend for the final, then cool. Mm-hmm. If not, they're all fit and ready. And maybe the other one is a similar thing where Thiago does
Thiago does 60 and Keita does 30 mm-hmm. in this one on that left hand side. And then again, you've got a choice between either or both of them should you require them for the weekend. Yeah. Hopefully. I do, my overriding feeling on this is that, yeah, I think it will be at a maximum three away from what we'll see at the weekend.
Okay. Just so the goalkeeper got, as well, because obviously going to be the goalkeeper.
It's going to be Keller, isn't it?
Yeah.
There is a question there, though, because Alisson's form has been through the roof, hasn't it? You know, it's one of them.
Yeah, I don't think he's going to... He's come out and said it now.
Yeah, 100%. But at the same time, when you look at how good Alisson's been, and obviously it's a cup final, there is that you know, that lingering doubt, isn't there, whereby you go.
And you've also got that thing, you know, we've not really discussed, like the centre-back issue as well. I mean, it looks like Van Dijk is back to peak physical condition again. So are we just going to see him do what he did pre-injury, that's play every game? Or is this like one last window of opportunity where Matip got his rest last week? Do you give Van Dijk off? Because what I think he will certainly want Van Dijk and Matip for the final, particularly if it's Kelleher. You put your best centre-back pairing that you've got on the pitch. Because I kind of think that was a little bit of the thinking at the weekend. The only way that we're allowed to change both fullbacks in one hit is because he puts the best centre half. So you don't give Norwich too much encouragement. Mm-hmm. So we might do something similar.
You've gone from him openly coming out about Matip and saying he can't play three games in 1 week to basically, I don't know, there must have been some sort of change that they've seen in his body, the medical department, because he's been playing a fair bit without any injuries or anything. So I think Matip comes out for that. And like Fabinho and Thiago and Elliot, like I said, or well, certainly Fabinho, Thiago will play the next two and he'll be fine to do that.
Absolutely. I suppose the golden opportunity, really, it's not like we're going into the Inter Milan game in the midweek following. We got that FA Cup fixture with Norwich, haven't we? You know, so that is an opportunity to really rotate. If we rotated seven changes in the league against Norwich, you know, it could be really heavy in the FA Cup.
No, it's a really, really good point. I just want to quickly look at the other fixtures that are going to be up midweek before we determine what everyone else has thought for the midfield three. Burnley, Tottenham, midweek, don't care. Watford, Palace, don't care. Us, don't care. Oh, no, I do. Arsenal, Wolves on the Thursday. And then, of course, we head into the weekend fixtures, which we'll see that big Titanic tussle between Everton and Man City, the two lesser teams of their respective cities. Which I expect Everton to do a good old game and then roll over and have the bellies tickle. But we'll talk about that in the build-up to the final. Right, I asked the club legends on our club legend Discord chat a little bit about this game. Jesus H. Steve says Leeds my first ever Liverpool game and I was glad we rotated on Saturdays just so I could see a strong lineup in person as possible. Now with City dropping points, it's an even more exciting game to look forward to. Oddbod says we just need to play our game and not get sucked into theirs. Thiago Hendo Fab has to start for me to take control. Josh Hall says Hendo Thiago Jones. Scott T back Hendo Fab Curtis. There's another one. Shelford Curtis Jones to go in there. The left E, Fab, Thiago, Hendo. CZ Red wants to see the lineup for Sunday in Wednesday's match. Jith, Fab, Thiago, Elliot. Possibly Fab, Thiago, Elliot for says left E with Hendo coming off the bench. Jack says no shouts for Milner, Henderson, Oxlade, Chamberlain. I mean, this is the point. Like someone like Curtis Jones, I think in another week might start this one because he's due it. He's been out the match day squad much. Ox would probably be asked to play again, get your rhythm back a little bit more. But I think it being the final, it becomes preparation for that game more than anything else. So there's a couple of lads who might be disappointed to not play, but you might with the FA Cup to come. It's all well. Yeah. You just go, you're going to get your game and then that's your chance to grab it. We had a couple of super chats as well. Adrian Wakefield says, this is the most important game of the season. They all are, aren't they?
Yeah, the
that's,
minute.
That's where we're at that's right now. And Fight Me Bros says, Harvey Elliott has to start this one, surely. Would we all... with the Harvey
Elliott? That's a general consensus. I think in terms of the narrative around what happened to him, obviously, is a big factor. But I also think the fact that we are expected to dominate the ball and he thrives in them conditions whereby we are dictating play, he's one of them players who can make things happen.
Yeah.
It's almost less of a risk than throwing Jones in now because Jones comes in against Leicester and I think he struggles a little bit in that game and gets taken off. So I think they'll earmark that cup game for Jones. But whereas with Elliott now, it's almost like I think I've never seen Jurgen speak about a young player like this ever. You know, he's that much trust in him, he's that much faith in him, he's so happy when he came back. And I think, you know, while throwing Curtis Jones in, there's a bit of a risk with that, because you know he's kind of been hit and miss. He's found a 7 out of 10 game and then sometimes doesn't find it again, whereas with Elliott, like, you just trust him to go in and do the job that the normal three would do.
I think we've been gearing up to peak for this weekend coming, and I think it's in ideal what's happened to Jota and Firmino, because let's be honest, one of them was definitely starting the cup final. There's a chance neither of them might be available, which would be a big blow. But playing Mane centre forward is clearly an early look at, we might need this, so that's a possibility. That's why I think Divock will start this one, because it just gets him up and running, so he's more likely of an option, if nothing else, so he's a bit more in tune for coming off the bench if you need a full-on Divock moment. But in an ideal world, I think we finish this game hopefully with the 3 points, but with a situation where Fabinho, Henderson, Thiago, Naby, Harvey, did I mention Hendo in there? Maybe, you've got six options who are all in contention.
And
it'll just decide on what happens with Chelsea in midweek, what he feels their midfield will be and what we're looking to do to them at the weekend. But I think that will be their underlying aim for this one. Right, let's have score predictions. Damn.
I really fancy us in this. I mean, I fancy us every week, there's no doubt about that, but more so than ever in this, with all the factors we spoke about, us on the crest of a wave, them coming off what was a difficult game yesterday, I think there's goals in this for us. And that goal difference swing as well could be important, because not only would this be a points gap, this could be a goal difference thing we overtake as well. So 4-0 for me.
3-1, same as Sunday. I think it will be one of those where Leeds are going to come out. They know their best bet for this game is probably coming out and having a go and pressuring us in certain areas.
Suits us, doesn't it?
I think they'll get a couple of chances because teams are at the minute, but ultimately, they'll get a goal. But after, I'd say, 70 minutes or so, both teams will shake hands on that. They don't get a drubbing. We get a bit of rest in the legs before the final. Happy days.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not against a consolation goal for Rafinha if he wants to win over the Anfield faithful before ending up at the...
So you're a fantasy captain,
isn't it? Cheeky bit in the summer, you know what I mean? We've got a nice little history of that. There's a few of those things. Like, it's also got a potential Taki Minamino comes on to seal it before sealing his move to Leeds in the summer, etc, etc. Amazing. Right, lastly, just want to say thank you to Mac Main, who sent 179 super chat in and just a bunch of emojis. Good on you. I'm really looking forward to this one. I will be at Anfield for this one. The watch along will be happening, of course, with Steve and Errol, so make sure you tune in for that. And I can't stress it enough, it's Wembley week. If you're going to be anxious, you're going to be nervous, you want to know more about Liverpool and the League Cup, because it's Liverpool's competition. And I was shocked how much I didn't know. Particularly, did you know Liverpool won it 4 times back to back in the 80s? I had a general inkling, but I had no idea how they went about doing it. If you want to find out about that more in depth, then check out that podcast series, Liverpool the League Cup Story, streaming in podcast and in video form from Monday evening on Redmen Plus. Gentlemen, thank you so much. Been a pleasure. If you want more of these guys, they were with Chris on the Final Word Show, looking back at the Norwich game. That's also on Redmen Plus. And don't forget, plenty of free content coming up for you guys on YouTube as well this week as we gear up towards Wembley. All the best.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hi, I'm Megan Rinks.
And I'm Melissa D. Montz.
And like every other person with access to a microphone, we started a podcast.
On Mondays, we release Don't Blame Me, which is an advice podcast where listeners call in and we share our thoughts on situations such as what to do if you're going to your boyfriend's family function and you haven't told him that you previously slept with both his twin brothers.
Then on Thursdays, we release our podcast, But Am I Wrong?, where we ethically gossip about pop culture, politics, our lives, and your lives. Listeners write in and we tell them if they're wrong or right in a situation. Are you the hero or the villain?
On Tuesdays and Fridays, we throw in a little something extra as well.
Well, something, something. We strive to create a community grounded in activism, mental health, and inclusivity. Think of us as like your blunt, honest friends who give you advice that you need to hear, not what you want to hear. But we're also always rooting for your success. What we lack in credentials, we make up for in...
opinions.
We do that in every episode, too.
We're professional unprofessional, so if you're looking for a new slate of podcasts to add to your routine, we're here for you.
Acast recommends.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.